हरे कृष्णा। सो टुडे वी विल बी डिस्कसिंग फ्रॉम श्रीमद् भागवतम कैंटो फिफ्थ, दिस चैप्टर 18th। द चैप्टर इज एंटाइटल्ड द रेसिडेंट्स ऑफ जम्बू द्वीप ऑफर प्रेयर्स, टेक्स्ट नंबर 24th एंड 25th। टेक्स्ट 24 इज अ प्रोज, सो वील रीड अ ट्रांसलेशन। Shukdev Goswami continued, in Ramyaka Varsha, where Vaivasvat Manu rules, the Supreme Personality of God had appeared as Lord Matsya at the end of the last era, the Chakshusha Manvantara. Vaivasvat Manu now worships Lord Matsya in pure devotional service and chants the following mantra. Om Namo Bhagavati Mukhya Tamaya Namah. सत्वाय प्रणायासुजे सहस्रबालाय महामत्स्याय नमः इति। 25 ट्रांसलेशन। आई ऑफर माय रिस्पेक्टफुल ओबेसेंसेस अंडर द सुप्रीम पर्सनालिटी ऑफ गॉडहेड, हु इज प्योर ट्रांसेंडेंस। ही इज द ओरिजिन ऑफ ऑल लाइफ, बॉडीली स्ट्रेंथ, मेंटल पावर एंड सेंसरी एबिलिटी। Known as Matsya Avatar, the gigantic fish incarnation, he appears first among all the incarnations. Again, I offer my obeisances unto him. Hare Krishna. Purported by His Divine Grace A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada. Srila Jayadeva Goswami sings, Pralayo payodi jale dhritavan asi vedam, vihitta vahitra charitram akhedam, keshava dhrita meena sharira jay jagadisha hare. Soon after the cosmic creation, the entire universe was inundated with water. At that time, Lord Krishna, Keshava, incarnated as a gigantic fish to protect the Vedas. Therefore, Manu addresses Lord Matsya as Mukhya Tama, the first incarnation to appear. Fish are generally considered a mixture of the modes of ignorance and passion. But we must understand that every incarnation of the Supreme Personality of Godhead is completely transcendental. There is never any deterioration of the Supreme Lord's original transcendental quality. Therefore, the word sattvaya is used here, meaning pure goodness on the transcendental platform. There are many incarnations of the Supreme Lord: Varaha Murti, the boar form; Kurma Murti, the tortoise form; Hayagriva Murti, the form of a horse, and so on. Yet we should never think any of them material. They are always situated on the platform of Shuddha Sattva, pure transcendence. ओम ज्ञानतिमिरन्धस्य ज्ञानाञ्जनशलाकय चक्षुरुन्मीलितं येन तस्मै श्रीगुरुवे नमः। हरे कृष्ण। सो वी वेलकम ऑल द डिवोटीज एंड द गेस्ट फॉर अवर संडे फीस्ट फेस्टिवल एट राधा गोपीनाथ टेम्पल। As you all sang together this Dasha Avatara Stotra, the whole idea was to present today here one of Lord Krishna's very wonderful incarnation. As we read the translation purport of Srila Prabhupada, we saw that Prabhupada was focusing on one particular incarnation, which was that the fish incarnation. So many people know about fish incarnation, and many people do not know much about fish incarnation. So we are going to read from the Srimad Bhagavatam 8th canto. An entire chapter is dedicated on Lord incarnating as the fish, Matsya Avatara. So in the first verse of this chapter, the 8th canto, 24th chapter, Parikshit Maharaj is inquiring from Shri Sukadev Goswami that Bhagavan Chotum Ichhami Harer Adhuta Karmana Avatara Katham Adyam Maya Matsya Vidambanam. The translation says, Maharaj Parikshit said, the Supreme Personality of Godhead Hari, He is eternally situated in His transcendental position. Yet He descends to this material world and manifests Himself in various incarnations. His first incarnation was that of a great fish. O most powerful Shukdeva Goswami, I wish to hear from you the pastimes of that fish incarnation. So as Parikshit Maharaj is saying here, Maya Matsya Vidambanam. The word Vidambanam can be equated with something called as wondrous or amazing. So this word Vidambanam is often quoted in many prayers of Lord Krishna's devotees. There is one single thing which often is repeated in many of the prayers is that Lord Krishna's pastimes are very difficult to understand. Or they are very amazing, very wonderful, Vidambanam. Even Kunti Maharani prays in a prayers that Tad Atyanta Vidambanam. Krishna, your lilas are very wonderful. They are very amazing. So why these two great souls, here is Parikshit Maharaj and Kunti Maharani, calling Krishna as Krishna's pastimes or Krishna's various incarnations pastimes as Vidambanam, amazing. There is a reason for it. Because Krishna, when he comes in this material world, or when Krishna's incarnation comes in this material world, they play a very perfect role. And they play such a role that no one can even guess that it is Krishna, the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Kunti Maharani says that, Krishna, you are a perfect dramatic actor. Like we have experienced in our drama festival, that many times when a devotee enters the stage, the actor enters, then we have to sometimes control our laughter because we know, we have identified the devotee. But when Krishna enters into the stage, no one can identify him. Even his pure devotees cannot identify him. Of course, pure devotees not identifying Krishna is not illusion, that is yogamaya, because Krishna wants that. So that the pure devotee will have a very nice relationship with Krishna in one of the five rasas. So Krishna arranges that in pure devotee's life. But the point I am conveying here is that Vidambanam, amazement, that when Krishna acts, he plays a perfect role. No one can recognize his activity. In fact, Krishna played his acting as a human being. Kritavan kila karmani saharamena keshava. Atimartyani Bhagavan Guda Kapata Manusha. Bhagavatam says, Krishna and Balaram came and they played the act of human beings. And they played a mask. They had a mask of a human being. And they played exactly like a human being no one could recognize. In fact, 5,000 years later, still people cannot recognize that. That is a perfect acting. Generally, when you see some movie, you find that a person, an actor gets a reward, award, Filmfare award, or this award, or that award. So many awards are there. The award is given because of perfect acting. But yet, when the film is watched, everyone says, what are acting? Everyone knows the actor is different and is playing and acting. But when Krishna plays, no one knows. And how long? Even today, 5,000 years later, people are writing books on why Krishna is God. Krishna is an ordinary person, maybe extraordinary. That is the glory of Krishna's playing an act. And therefore we should know, Janma Karma Chame Divyam, when Krishna quotes this verse in Bhagavad Gita 4th chapter, Evam Yoveti Tatvata Tyaktva Deham Punar Janma Naiti Mameti Swarjuna. One who understands Krishna's pastimes as divine, Tatvata, as it is, such a person, what he can do? Write books? No. He will go back to Godhead. So therefore, to go back to Godhead requires to understand Krishna's pastime as they are. So therefore, Krishna's pastimes are not ordinary. And Krishna plays a perfect role. And therefore, you need Krishna's representative, a devotee, to make you understand who Krishna is. Srila Prabhupada in the purport, in the first verse, is saying, The Supreme Lord is all powerful, yet he accepted the form of an uncommon fish. Not just a fish, an uncommon fish. Whenever Krishna takes any incarnation, all of his activities are uncommon. Srila Prabhupada elsewhere also says that Krishna comes in various forms, as a human being, as an aquatic, like a tortoise or a fish, or as an animal, Narsingadev or Varahadev. In every of those incarnations, it is all uncommon. Let's take Varaha incarnation. When Krishna comes as Varahadev, from where he comes? From Brahmaji's nose. It's very uncommon to see something coming from someone's nose. He is coming from Brahmaji's nose, and even Brahmaji is bewildered. What's coming out of my nose? So Brahmaji and Swayambhu Manu all are in crisis. And Lord Krishna comes as a small form, and that form is a form of a boar. But a boar is a pig, actually. But what kind of boar? Beautiful boar. And when it comes out, it slowly starts expanding his size. Within no time, he is as gigantic as the universe. And then, Lord as Varahadev glances on all the demigods. By his glance, everyone becomes satisfied. All their distresses are mitigated. Can you imagine any pig glancing on someone? Therefore, it's uncommon. Prabhupada says, uncommon activities. So Varahadev then immediately, for what reason Varahadev had appeared? Because Earth planet was submerged in the Garbhodak ocean. So it is mentioned, so Lord Varaha was in Brahmaji's planet, Brahmaloka. From there, Lord Varaha dived into the Garbhodak Sagar, which is way down, below even the hellish planets. A perfect dive. He broke all the records. And he dived inside the Garbhodak Sagar, got the earth up on his tusk. And meanwhile, Hiranyaksha, who had put the earth down on the Garbhodak ocean, Hiranyaksha came and wanted to fight with Varahadev. So Varahadev was now getting ready. So Varahadev, when he was getting ready, he shook his body. Just like a pig shakes his body. He shook his body. And all the water of Garbhodak ocean, which was on his body, on his hairs, it sprinkled on all the 14 planets. And all the 14 planets became purified. If a pig goes in a gutter and stands there, you will never go next to him. Because if he shakes, then what will happen? He will become impure. So this is uncommon boar incarnation, Varahadev. Then we also have the incarnation of tortoise, Kurma Avatar. When the churning of ocean, churning of milk ocean was going on, and the Mandara Parvat was the churning rod, the demigods and demons were churning the ocean. But the Mandara mountain started sinking in the water, and no one could lift. At that time, Lord Krishna came as a tortoise, and he went inside the ocean, and on his back, the Mandara mountain rested. And on his back, the whole mountain was moving to and fro. Srila Prabhupada says that when Lord Krishna comes, he comes for various purposes, not just one purpose. We'll discuss that later. So here, he was coming to help the demigods and demons to churn the ocean of milk. But actually, the internal reason for him to come was, Lord was feeling little itch on the back. So to forgive his itch, to get off his itch, he went inside and the whole mountain was rubbing on his back and he was feeling very nice. Itching sensation was relieved. And then not just that, when Kurumadev was very happy because of that relievement of itching sensation, he started breathing very spontaneously. And that breathing caused waves in the ocean. And therefore it is called as an uncommon incarnation. Similarly, Vamandev's incarnation, he came as a small dwarf, but was very beautiful. Dwarf, but beautiful. Another difficult contradiction. And immediately after some time, he became the tallest person in the whole universe. From dwarf to the tallest person. So that is the uncommon activities of Lord. So therefore, Prabhupada says, uncommon fish. Why is uncommon? Let us hear what Shukdev Goswami has to speak for this particular inquiry from Parikshit Maharaj. Parikshit Maharaj further inquires from Shukdev Goswami that, oh dear sage Shukdev Goswami, I am very surprised because Lord took the form of a fish. Fish is an abominable species. Parikshit Maharaj says that the form of fish is certainly condemned and it is full of terrible pain. Now we can all relate that how the form of fish is very abominable, is it not? We all experience that the smell of fish is very, very bad. You know? We call it, sometimes we use that word, fishy smell. Why? Because it doesn't smell very good. In fact, often when we're traveling in local trains, we avoid the luggage compartment, you know, just to avoid that smell. So fishy smell we want to avoid because it's very abominable species. And it is certainly condemned and full of terrible pain. Why it is condemned? Because the fish eats everything what is possible. So it is stored, whatever the sewage goes from Mumbai, goes in the ocean and is taken by the fish. Of course the fish is caught and brought back to the land and then it's recycled. But the point is that when the fish eats only dirt. So the body of a fish therefore is considered to be abominable. In fact, Shaman Prabhu was once quoting humorously that a Bengali man is very fond of eating fish. So he'll go to the market with hands on his nose. And he'll buy the fish with hands on his nose. And he'll come back to the home with hands on his nose. And then after that he'll enjoy the feast after whatever he does with that. The point is the fish is very bad smelling, bad odor. Therefore, certainly condemned as Parikshit Maharaj says. And full of terrible pain because a fish is always very much in anxiety. You see fish very much in anxiety because of bigger fishes or being caught by someone in the net. So Parikshit Maharaj is asking, why does Krishna have to take an incarnation of a fish? What is the purpose? Or rather, what are the purposes? As I mentioned, Krishna doesn't have one purpose. Krishna is expert. When he comes, he exhibits and he fulfills many purposes together. We know some purposes. Krishna mentions in the Bhagavad Gita, yada yada hi dharmasya. And he says, paritranaya sadhunam vinashacha dushkritam dharma samsthapanarthaya sambhavami yuge yuge. So when he incarnates for three purposes, but those are just external. When he comes, he also comes for internal reasons. So Parikshit Maharaj is asking, why Lord Krishna has to come as a fish in such an abominable species? Why it is required? So now Suta Goswami, who is narrating this pastime to all the sages in Naimisharanya, is narrating now how Shukdev Goswami is going to speak on the Matsya Avatar Leela. So, as you mentioned that Krishna has various purposes to fulfill. So the external reasons we quoted, the internal reason is Krishna comes for his own pleasure, his own satisfaction. Like Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu when he appeared, there were three external reasons and three internal reasons. The gist of the internal reason was Krishna wanted to know what is that in him that his devotees enjoy. Devotees take pleasure in serving him. Like one time Lord Krishna came to Dwarka. This is mentioned in Chaitanya Mangal. And he was going to Rukmini Devi's palace. So when he entered Rukmini Devi's palace, Rukmini Devi was in tears seeing Lord Krishna. So she welcomed Krishna, made Krishna sit on the bed, and she started bathing Krishna's lotus feet. All the time crying, shedding tears. So Krishna asked Rukmini Devi that, why are you shedding tears? If I am not there, you can shed tears, but I am here now. So Rukmini Devi said that, you will not understand. So Krishna became very much eager. What is this? I know everything. What is this which I cannot understand? So Rukmini Devi told Krishna that the attractive feature of your lotus feet, that you cannot understand. Only me and Srimati Radharani can understand that. So Lord Krishna became very inquisitive. I should know that. And for that reason, Chaitanya Mangal explains, Lord Krishna came as his own devotee, as Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. That was the internal reason. Srila Prabhupada says, what was the internal reason for the fish to come? It is mentioned the internal reason for the fish to come was, Lord coming as fish was, Lord wanted to enjoy swimming. Now all devotees want to enjoy swimming, they also like. So they go to, very close from here is Ban Ganga. Or they go to yatras, they want to enjoy swimming. But when Lord Krishna comes, because all the desires which we have is originally emanating from Krishna. So the desire to swim also comes from Krishna. But just like we are small and Krishna is big, we are Anu and Krishna is Vibhu. Similarly, Krishna's desire also is big. His desire is big and the fulfillment of his desire also is big. So when he wants to swim, he swims in the ocean of devastation, Pralaya Sagar. And he takes a very huge form. So that is the internal reason for Krishna appearing as the Matsya incarnation. Sukadeva Goswami speaks that Lord came as Matsya avatar for the sake of protecting the cows, the brahmanas, the demigods, the devotees, the Vedic literature, religious principles, and to fulfill the purpose of human life. Srila Prabhupada says in the purport that from the Lord's personal activity, human society should learn how to give protection specifically to the brahmanas and the cows. Lord Krishna says in the Bhagavad Gita, yad yad acharati shreshtas tat tat evar te jano. That means, whatever a great person does, the common man follows. Similarly, we see in this world that whatever a great man does, in whatever field he is, say a sports star or a film star, immediately the whole world imitates it. Now, who can be a greater celebrity than Lord Krishna? As a greater celebrity, Lord Krishna is showing by his own example when he comes in this world that how he takes pleasure in protecting and taking care of cows and taking care of devotees and brahmanas. So we should learn from this and how this is what gives pleasure to Krishna, protection of cows and giving pleasure to devotees and establishing a brahmanical culture. In Kali Yuga, everyone is born Shudra, Kalo Shudra Sambhava. So, because of Shudra population, Srila Prabhupada says the whole world is in chaos. Prabhupada compares the Varnashram Dharma to a body. And in a body, everything is important. The head is important, the hand is important, the stomach is important, and the leg is important. The most important is the head. Without head, nothing will work. Similarly, in this whole world, if proper Varnashram Dharma is not there, and just the Shudra race is there, that is the leg race, what will happen? Without head, the body will not function. And therefore, there is chaos. So, if Srila Prabhupada preached far and wide to establish Brahmanical culture so that people can rise to the level of Vaishnavas and become human being. Srila Prabhupada would say that when you take initiation, you take two vows. One is you take a vow of chanting 16 rounds of the Hare Krishna mantra, and second is you follow four principles. Prabhupada says four principles are not big thing. Four principles means from animal life you become human being. And chanting 16 rounds will make you into Vaishnava. So therefore, the whole system of ISKCON here is designed that people will be geared, people will be, they will be elevated from lower stages of life to the highest stage, to culture of Vaishnavism. Once Giriraj Maharaj was mentioning this point that the real wealth in this world is consisting of two things. One is natural products and second is loving relationship. As long as these two things are not there, people may be wealthy externally, but they are actually poverty stricken. And therefore, these are real wealth of a Vaishnava. Sukadeva Goswami continues saying that the fish incarnation of the Lord doesn't get affected with the material world. Just like when the air passes over different atmosphere, it doesn't get affected. We are understanding how when air passes, the wind blows. If it blows over a filthy place, it carries the smell. But the same wind blows over over the garden, it carries the fragrance. But the air is not affected by either the filthy smell or the fragrance of a garden. The air remains transcendental. Similarly, Lord Krishna comes in this material world in any of the incarnations, whether as an aquatic or as an animal, he is not affected. Bhagavatam compares Lord Krishna's incarnation to be like a sun. Now we can relate to this sun. Now we see sun, every day sun rises in the east and sets in the west. So unintelligent people think that sun has taken birth from the east and has died in the west. But intelligent people know that sun has just risen. And when the sun rises and sets in the west, the sun is not affected. In fact, we are affected. With every setting of the sun, one day is less in our life. But sun is not affected. If sun is in the horizon, it's morning 9 o'clock. We never say, sun is 9 hours old. We never say that. And if you see sun, the knowledge of sun is very deep. There is a special branch to understand the knowledge of sun. People have to learn so many different branches. For example, astronomy. If you want to know the in-depth, what is the sun, how it, where it's located, how it rises, how it sets. Similarly, Lord Krishna, his appearance and disappearance compared to setting and rising of a sun. Nothing happens to him. And if you want to have the knowledge, we cannot have knowledge of a layman. Just like a person has to refer astronomy, go to the course and understand sun's movement. Similarly, a person can access Krishna's information by becoming a devotee. That's what Lord Krishna tells Arjuna, that without becoming my devotee, you cannot understand about me. So this is what is understanding here, that they're giving that Lord Krishna, when he incarnates in fish incarnation, he is not affected. So now, Sukadeva Goswami begins speaking of the narration. He mentions that since Lord Fish came during the time of Pralay, he mentions that this Pralay happens when Brahmaji takes rest. Brahmaji's night is there. So, Sukadeva Goswami says that when the night comes, Lord Brahma sleeps during the night and the whole three worlds are annihilated. And when Brahmaji sleeps, an amazing thing happens. Generally when we sleep, we keep snoring. But when Brahmaji sleeps, he speaks the Vedas. That is Brahmaji's greatness. We also experience in our life that when we have some day in our life which is fully filled with Krishna conscious activity, we get nice dreams. Brahmaji is every day is fully filled with Krishna conscious activity. Therefore, every day in the night he speaks Vedas when he sleeps. So here is Brahmaji's one night and he's sleeping and he's speaking the Vedas while sleeping. And there's one great demon whose name is Hayagriva. He comes and steals Brahmaji's knowledge of the Vedas. So here Sukadeva Goswami is narrating the first incarnation. There are two incarnations of fish which appear. So first incarnation is when Hayagriva, the demon Hayagriva, he comes and steals Brahmaji's knowledge. Now what did he stole? Did he stole some books? No. He stole the information of Brahmaji from his brains. He was a high-tech robber. And therefore he could steal the information actually. He was the original hacker who hacked the real software from the hard disk. So here, Hayagriva stole the whole knowledge from Brahmaji and Brahmaji was left without any knowledge. Brahmaji could not access any knowledge from Vedas. And that time Lord Krishna came as a fish incarnation. Why? Because there was water everywhere. So Krishna came as fish and he killed Hayagriva and gave the knowledge back to Brahmaji. So this is the first incarnation of Lord coming as fish. The second incarnation, Sukadeva Goswami says, came to please the devotee King Satyavrat. And Satyavrat was performing austerity, and for his pleasure, King the Lord Krishna came as a fish incarnation. And now onwards, Sukadeva Goswami will narrate this incident in a detail. What happened? Why Krishna came as fish? What was so special about Satyavrat Muni that Krishna has to come as a fish to give pleasure to him? So Sukadeva Goswami mentions that during the Chakshusha Manvantara, there was a great king, King Priyavrat. And being a great king and a great devotee of the Lord, he was engaging in performing austerities. And he was performing austerities on the banks of river Kritamala. That time, while offering oblations of water back into the river, suddenly in his palm, he saw a small fish. So he was puzzled, immediately put the fish down in the water. This fish, as soon as it went into the river, the fish started speaking. That is uncommon. Uncommon activity of Lord, of fish speaking. So Lord, as fish incarnation, as Matsya, started speaking. King Priyavara did not know that this is Lord. The fish said, "Oh my dear king, you are supposed to give protection to everyone. Why are you letting me off? Don't you know this reservoir of water has so many big aquatic fishes? They will kill me, they will eat me up. Please give protection to me." So King King Satyavrat immediately picked up the fish and took it home. And Satyavrat put the fish into a water jug. And it is mentioned overnight, the next day, when King Satyavrat came and saw the fish has expanded its size. The fish could not live comfortably in that water jug. And the fish demanded that, "I am feeling very uncomfortable. Give me a better and larger reservoir of water." So initially Krishna, he amazingly seeks protection of his devotees. That is amazing quality of Krishna, that he lets devotee do some service for him, and therefore he helplessly gives himself to Krishna. We see the pastime of Lord Krishna in Vrindavan, how Lord Krishna was helplessly in hands of Mother Yashoda and Nanda Maharaj. And he let it happen. Whatever they wanted, he did. It was as if Krishna was seeking protection in them. But still, he proved to everyone that actually he was protecting everyone. When demons would come, it was Krishna who protected everyone. Similarly, here is Matsya, the Lord coming as fish, and he's asking for protection from his devotee. But he's giving a chance to the devotees to serve. So we can see that Krishna keeps coming here often in this material world, just so that we get a chance to serve. Similarly, Krishna also comes as deity form, Archa Vigra. And what essentially is doing is giving us a chance to serve. It is mentioned that when the installation takes place, the Acharya invites the Lord and he ensures the Lord that, "I will protect you, I will take care of you, I will serve you." And Krishna becomes like a helpless person standing there waiting. If no one offers anything, he will not demand. He will be there. That is Krishna's greatness. But yet, as a deity, Krishna is protecting everyone. So Krishna first is seeking protection from Satyavrat Muni. And immediately now he is asking for some demands. That is uniqueness in Krishna consciousness. When you come to Krishna consciousness, immediately, first day we are told, Krishna consciousness is very easy, no problem. Chant Hare Krishna. And then as soon as we become devotees, slowly, slowly, then again, same lectures, chant Hare Krishna, no problem. So many years we hear, chant Hare Krishna, no problem. We are already chanting Hare Krishna. Then why same Hare Krishna is repeated, chant Hare Krishna? Because Krishna starts demanding surrender. When you came first time, you chanted Hare Krishna, but now more deeper. Why? Why Krishna demands? For our good. Radha Gopinath was giving a nice example that sometime in a storm, huge wind, you see a big tree getting uprooted. But next to a big tree, there will be a small plant. It is not uprooted. So my question, big tree uprooted and a small plant is not uprooted. The reason is, the big tree grew in size but did not go deeper in its roots into the ground. On the other hand, the small plant had deeper roots. and therefore it could withhold the storm. Similarly, now Krishna consciousness, the same instruction, chant Hare Krishna, 16 rounds minimum, follow four principles, but the same thing has to go into more deeper sense understood. Like one time, this nice analogy is given, story is given, that there was one new devotee who came in temple, and then in the lecture he heard that we should develop service attitude in Krishna consciousness. So he said, okay. So he started serving devotees, and he became very happy serving Krishna. So he joined the temple. And joined the temple, he became Bhakta Mike now. And when he was serving in the temple, after some time, he was told by his temple president, Bhakta Mike, you should develop service attitude. And he said, I heard that for the first time when I came to the temple. Again, he's speaking the same thing. So okay, he started becoming more serious in Krishna consciousness, served more, got initiated now. After initiation, again temple president called him and said, now he became Matsya Avatar. So Matsya's incarnation is Matsya Avatar Das. So Matsya Avatar Prabhu, you should develop more service attitude. Saying, first day I came, service attitude. Before initiation, service attitude. After initiation, also same thing, service attitude. He couldn't understand. He became a great preacher. And his spiritual master gave him sannyas. He became Matsya Avatar Swami now. And he was preaching all over the world. One day from Mayapur, his spiritual master called him and said, immediately come to Mayapur, I want to talk to you. So he became afraid. Why spiritual master is calling me? And spiritual master sees him, and when he comes to Mayapur, the spiritual master sees him and says, Matsya Avatar Swami, please develop service attitude. Now he's confused. Day one, service attitude has been repeated so many times. The point is that as we grow in Krishna consciousness, we have to go more deeper also. So here, Krishna, Lord Krishna's fish incarnation is demanding surrender from Satyavrata Muni, Satyavrata King, so that for his protection, for his good. So immediately the king puts the fish into a big well. Immediately, the Lord as fish expands into size. And he says, now I'm not comfortable in well also here. So the king transfers him, the Lord, into bigger reservoir, into a lake. And there also again the Lord expands. Then starts demanding, I'm not comfortable here, bigger reservoir of water. So the most biggest reservoir of water he had in the kingdom, he transferred the fish into the biggest reservoir. And there also the fish expanded and demanded, I am not comfortable here. So the king then shifted the fish into the ocean. And as soon as the king shifted the fish into the ocean, the fish pleaded, oh, why are you putting me in the ocean? The ocean is full of big fishes. They will eat me up. So the king said, the king got bewildered. What kind of fish is this? First of all, it's speaking. And second is, overnight it has become so big. Still demanding. So he started intensely asking, oh Lord, who are you? Please let me know. I am bewildered by your uncommon activities. So King Satyavrata Muni says, speaks to Lord that please reveal to me your purpose of your coming here. And then the fish incarnation of Lord says that I have come here because just after 7 days there is going to be a pralaya. And in that pralaya everything will be dissolved. So I want you that you should protect, get all the Vedas, get all the herbs, collect all the devotees, all kinds of living entities. And during this devastation, a large boat will come to you. Put them on the boat. Don't get morose in water. At that time, I will come again in a huge form. And you tie the boat to my horn through the means of Vasuki snake. And then I will ply the boat very safely in the water of devastation. You need not worry. And at that time, I will question all your answers and enlighten you in the knowledge of devotional service. So the king became very happy and the fish vanished. So the king now sat on a kusha grass in the northeast direction and started meditating on Lord Krishna's fish incarnation. Eventually, as the seventh day came, big gigantic clouds came and they started pouring incessant rains. The ocean swelled up and the ocean crossed their border and came into the land. Everywhere there was water. The king was bewildered, was frightened. He collected everyone, everything, and then he saw a large boat coming. And they all climbed on the boat. And all the great sages told the king that now you pray intensely for the Lord to appear. Satyavrata Muni, Satyavrata King started praying to the Lord to come as a fish incarnation. And hearing his prayers, it is mentioned that immediately Lord appeared. It is mentioned that Lord appeared. ...80 million miles long. That was the size of the fish. And when he appeared, his form was golden fish. He had a horn and he was flying smoothly in the water of devastation. So the king immediately anchored the boat through Vasuki snake to Lord's horn, and the Lord started flying the boat. Then immediately, seeing this, King Satyavrata, he became so pleased, started offering prayers. So when he's offering prayers, beautiful prayers he offers to the lotus feet of Lord as fish incarnation. He's saying that, O Lord, in this material world, by your grace, a devotee comes in a person's life and enlightens him in devotional service. Otherwise, this material world is full of miseries. A person is fully engulfed in material desires, and his material desires kill a person. They give a lot of terrible suffering and agony in a person's life. That is the nature of material desire. Bhagavad Gita also, Lord Krishna says that material sense gratification is nectar in the beginning, poison in the end. Like one devotee was mentioning an example that there is a snail and there is a jellyfish. So a jellyfish sometime eats the snail. But because the snail is inside a hard covering, the bone, what happens? When it's taken inside by this jellyfish, it looks like jellyfish has eaten the snail. But the snail is inside the jellyfish stomach. And the snail comes out and starts eating from within the jellyfish. And soon, the jellyfish is dead. Snail comes out more stronger. The example is given that we try to experience material desires and it looks like we are enjoying initially. But slowly, slowly, material nature takes over and material nature wins. And more we try to enjoy, more bigger is the defeat. Like for example, if you play a game, like a football game. In a football game, if two teams are having a tough fight, then we can understand, okay, some wins. But what if a team is winning? Let's say a team is winning 5-0, first half. In the second half, 8-0. 10 minutes are remaining till the hooter is being whistled. And everyone knows now we are going to win. What if in the last 10 minutes the opponent scores 11 goals? What will happen? The defeat will be big defeat, not a small defeat. So the example is given that in this world, our position is like that of a team which is winning against Mayadevi. We are playing against Mayadevi, the game of football. And it looks like we are winning. Sometimes the rich man feels that, oh, everything is controlled. I am the controller. So he is like 10-0. He is confident. He has made it. Bhagavad Gita was wrong. And the end of his life, the last 10 minutes of his life, Mayadevi scores in such a way that from biggest victory, he suffers the biggest defeat. He is bewildered. So that is how here Satyavrata Muni is saying, Satyavrata King is saying that how the material desire eat up a person. And therefore, by your grace, O Lord, all your devotees come and enlighten us. And what results? Because of this engagement in devotional service, all the material desires are purified. We get freedom from ignorance. And the king compares the purification of devotional service to the purification of gold in fire. When the gold is put in the fire, what happens? The gold gets purified and becomes pure gold later. Similarly, when we are in fire of Krishna consciousness, we get purified. The only thing we have to do is keep ourselves in that fire of Krishna consciousness. That's all. We should not come out of the fire. If we remain in the fire of Krishna consciousness, we will get purified. Like one devotee was giving example, very nice, that Krishna consciousness is like playing mridanga. More you play, more you know better. That is the only thing. So Krishna consciousness is also like that. More you practice Krishna consciousness, more you will advance in Krishna consciousness. More we are in the fire of Krishna consciousness, more we will get purified. And then the king says that the mercy which Krishna gives cannot be compared to any mercy by any other person. 1/10,000 part also that mercy no one can give. The king gives a calculation. That even a demigod cannot give the mercy which Krishna can give the mercy. Not any living entity, no family members can give us that protection, which Krishna gives protection. And then he mentions that even though Krishna is sending his devotees, still people are so miserable in the age of Kali Yuga. We can see that people do not get chance. So king says that many times a person is taken away from Krishna by bogus gurus and sadhus. And that is a symptom of this age. Manda sumanda matayor, manda bhagyahi upadrita. People in this age are lazy, misguided. They don't have time for spirituality. And they are most unfortunate because if someone is interested in spirituality, what happens? Immediately, he has been taken away by some false propaganda of some spiritual movements. He is misled. So therefore, here the king prays that you are so kind that you see a sincere person and you guide him from within as a super soul. And from within, you give him protection and you give him guidance how to progress in devotional service. And in this way, a person progresses in Krishna consciousness and reaches you ultimately. So these are the wonderful prayers of the king. And then finally, after the prayer is over, then he begs for protection from the king, from the fish. So we see that prayers is a science actually. Many times many people say that, you know, I am praying to Krishna for so long time and my prayers are not answered. Because we pray spontaneously. Prayer is a science. If you want to really make a prayer, we have to learn from acharyas how to make a prayer. Here in this case, initially, the prayer began by glorifying the Lord. And then the prayer continued by saying that how fallen we are. And finally, the boon or the benediction was asked. It's a science. When you go to laboratory and you go for a scientific experiment, everything is important. Step 1, step 2, step 3, step 4. You cannot bypass any steps. If you bypass, you will not get the result. So prayer is also a science. When you offer a prayer, it should be exactly in the footsteps of the great devotees and acharyas, like the king here. So he prays, oh dear Lord, as fish incarnation, kindly cut the knot of material attachment in my heart and make me a surrendered devotee at your lotus feet. So then Lord, as fish incarnation, starts narrating the wonderful spiritual themes. He narrates, he speaks the Sankhya Yoga philosophy. And it mentioned that the transmission is heart-to-heart transmission. Because of the ocean of devastation, the water is making so much of sound. So when Krishna speaks as fish incarnation, it's a huge fish. So heart-to-heart transmission is there. Everyone is able to hear in their heart. And everyone is fully pacified, happy, hearing from Lord as fish incarnation. Now towards the end of this particular incarnation here, the glorification of bhakti yoga is given. As we mentioned that always in our classes we hear that bhakti yoga is the easiest process. Now we will see a very beautiful example of how bhakti yoga is easiest process towards the end of this pastime. It is mentioned that one who hears this pastime is delivered from reactions of all sinful life. Now all of you are hearing here. Now if you go into detail of this pastime and read this pastime, and if you narrate this pastime to someone else, that person will be relieved from his sinful life. Okay, this is the result of hearing. Let us see what is the result of narrating. So this is all a bonus for all of you. Krishna is giving a bonus from Bhagavatam, different sources. So Krishna is saying here, Sukadeva Goswami is giving the phalashruti of narrating this pastime. He is mentioning and is encouraging all of us to narrate this pastime as we go home. One who narrates this description of the Matsya incarnation and King Satyavrata will certainly have all his ambitions fulfilled, and he will undoubtedly return home back to Godhead. So this is the easy process of bhakti yoga. You narrate a pastime of Matsya Avatar, and Krishna is giving a bumper sale offer here. You can go back to Godhead. So therefore, we can see the easy process of bhakti yoga works. We have to stick to the process, that's all. And Bhagavatam is filled with such narrations. Any one activity of Lord Krishna we get attracted to, that's enough. That's enough to take us, attract us to Krishna at time of death, and then we can go back to Godhead. So this is a beautiful narration of Krishna's Matsya incarnation in the 8th canto of Bhagavatam. Now I was reading a book of His Holiness Bhakti Vikas Maharaj, Jaya Prabhupada. In that book he writes, he compares various incarnations of the Lord to the activities of Srila Prabhupada. Now you know Lord Krishna comes in various incarnations, and there are also categories of those incarnations. Manvantara avatar, Leela avatar, Guna avatar, Purusha avatar. One such incarnation category is a Shaktyavesha avatar. In Shaktyavesha avatar there are further two categories. One category is a direct Shaktyavesha avatar where Krishna himself incarnates, and then he shows one of his splendors, one of his opulence in full. Not everything, one of his opulence in full. And sometimes the Lord, he empowers his own devotee and gives him all of his Shakti to do something wonderful. So it is mentioned in that sense, Srila Prabhupada is also an indirect Shaktyavesh avatar, because what he did is unparalleled in history. No one can do that. So Bhakti Vikas Maharaj compares Matsya avatar, the activities, to Srila Prabhupada. He says that Matsya avatar came and he saved the Vedas from being destroyed. And he re-spoke the Vedas. Similarly, Srila Prabhupada came at that time in the history when people were losing interest in Vedic life. They were not interested in spirituality. When materialism was rampantly spreading everywhere, that time Srila Prabhupada came and he saved the Vedas. And he re-spoke the Vedas in a unique way so that people could understand the message. One more thing, you said that just like Lord, when he came as a fish, he came as a very small fish and eventually became very big. Similarly, when Srila Prabhupada went to West, he was a very small person. An old man in his late 60s, heavy Bengali accented English, but perfect manners of a devotee. That was a unique thing in Srila Prabhupada. Small stature, he had no support, nothing. But in 12 years, he grew big in size. What he did is unparalleled. Like one devotee was mentioning me that Srila Prabhupada in 12 years established 108 temples all over the world, which is not very easy. And Srila Prabhupada, when he came to India with his disciples, wherever he would go, he would tell the organizers in India, the Indian organizers, that you put the flyers that Swami A.C. Bhaktivedanta Prabhupada and his Western disciples have come to preach. So Satyavrata Maharaj mentions that all the devotees thought that in India we both are preaching. Prabhupada is preaching and we are also preaching with him. So we are helping hands, you know. And he mentions that when Prabhupada left this planet, 1977, and the whole ISKCON came on the devotees in their hands, Then they realize Srila Prabhupada was actually very humble. He only was leading the whole society. In 12 years, he established and he maintained 108 temples. And after him, to even one make one temple, it takes 12-15 years sometimes. And to maintain it, it's a big headache more. So they all realize that Srila Prabhupada's contribution is unique. No one has ever created spiritual revelation like Srila Prabhupada did. To people who never understood Krishna, never knew Krishna, to those people, Prabhupada made them devotees and made them surrender to Krishna. So that was the contribution of Srila Prabhupada. Hare Krishna. Any questions we have? Just one question we can take. If you have.
Hare Krishna Prabhuji. Yes, thank you very much for class. Prabhuji, in avatars of Lord Krishna, it is seen from, means first avatar is like fish, then tortoise and like that. And in Darwin's theory also, it is somewhat similarity. Exactly. Like first in aquatic animals created and up to man. So what is similarity or what is difference?
It's a nice question. His question was answered by Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Sarasvati Thakur. In one of his famous lectures, he mentioned that Lord Krishna, as I mentioned, he is amazing. He can come in amazing ways. So, Lord Krishna, in order to fit in this material world, he exactly fits in. Like for example, when Krishna appears, he sees that he appears through some parents. Generally, he sees like that. When Krishna came, he came through his parents. And he acts like a normal human being. Because he doesn't want to confuse, he doesn't want to create little disturbance. Normally what does, the social convention is there in society, he follows that. So when Krishna comes in the material, he follows the social conventions. So Bhaktisiddhanta Sarasvati Thakur Maharaj said that when you see in this world, there is evolution of species. The life gets evolved, initially from aquatics, then they come to, next is the birds, then the beast and the human beings. Similarly, to fit in the material world, the most merciful Krishna, when he appears, he also appears in a unique way, to preach in a unique way. He appears first as fish, second as tortoise, and third as Varahadev, and Narsingadev, and Lord Ram, Krishna, and all like that. So that is the explanation. So Krishna can do anything. This that is Krishna's amazing quality. If he wants, he can appear in such a way that it can fit in the social convention of the world. And Krishna can sometimes break the social convention to show that he is Supreme Lord. So many times Krishna takes that two stands.
Thank you. Okay.
Hare Krishna. Yes.
Prabhuji, in the beginning of lecture, you have said that Krishna, when Krishna come in any form or any avatar, he come for different purposes. Then what are the purposes rather than protecting the Prahlad Maharaj for the Narsingh avatar?
In case of Narsingh avatar,
yeah,
there are many pastimes for this. One of them is, as you know, Hiranyakashipu and Hiranyaksha, they were actually Jaya and Vijay. And they were sent from the spiritual world down to become demons for three lifetimes. And the internal reason was mentioned by the Acharya, Srila Prabhupada, that Lord wanted to fight. But whom he will fight? He can't fight in spiritual world with someone. So when he wants to fight, he sends his own people and gives them a lot of power. There should be a good match to fight. If you are fighting with a teeny fellow, what you can easily just give a slap, he will fall down. But if you are fighting with an equal competitor, then there is a good match. So Krishna arranges that fighting. Krishna sends two of his devotees, empowers them, biggest demons the world has seen. And Krishna comes and defeats them. And Krishna kills them. That is the internal reason for why Narsingh appears. So we'll end here. Thank you very much for your patient hearing. Srila Prabhupada ki jai. Granthra Srimad Bhagavatam ki jai.